Thank you. It's good to be back once again. Hope the Lord will bless you by you listening today. I come to try to be a help and a blessing. We all need help from the Lord. And I need his help each and every day. I'll be the first to admit that. If you think you don't need God's help, then you're in terrible shape in your thinking and your mind. I tell you, man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And we all need the Lord. And the Lord is real. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The Lord sits on his throne. It's real. It's not a fairy tale. Thank God the Lord created the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that's therein. He created the fishes in the water. He created the fowl of the air. He created man in his own image upon the sixth day. Created he them, male and female. And he put man on the earth. And but man fell to sin. They had everything at their disposal to enjoy. It was so beautiful. But Adam and Eve, they transgressed against God. Eve, she was deceived and she partook of the forbidden fruit. And that's exactly what happened. And Adam, he took of the forbidden fruit too as well. Their eyes were open. They seen that they were fallen. They seen that they were sinners. They seen that the sentence of death was pronounced upon them like God said it would be. And their sins, and also you and me, we've all been born in sin and shape and iniquity. We all have our own conversation and our sin. And God does not, he's not pleased with sin. God is angry with the wicked every day. But there is mercy for our sin. There's forgiveness for our sins. Thank God if there was not any kind of mercy or forgiveness, we'd all wind up dying in sin and going to hell. But God, with his compassion and love, he drew salvation's plan. And Jesus, he loved us so much that he came down and he became the supreme sacrifice. Sin had to be atoned for. The sins had to be just atoned for. And the only thing that could appease the wrath of God that mankind stirred up was a blood sacrifice. And the reason why it's the blood, an untainted blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without spot, the Lamb without blemish, it had to be a supreme sacrifice. And the life is in the blood. And see, Jesus had to give his life that we could be brought back to life. Because Adam and Eve, they ate of the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the sentence of death was pronounced upon their soul, their spirit, and their body. They didn't drop dead right then and on the spot, but their soul and their spirit was severed from fellowship from God. And the Bible says, a soul that sinneth it shall die. But Jesus come down to die for us on the cross. He drank the bitter cup of God's wrath, and he shed his blood. He let those Roman soldiers and the howling mob crucify him. He had to give his body. He had to give his life. And that's why he was born. He said, for this hour came I into this world. And he bled and he suffered and died upon Golgotha's hill, the place of the skull. It was a death mountain. And he knew his destination when he was in heaven. He came down this sin-cursed world knowing his destiny was a lonely hill of Golgotha where he laid down his life for you and for me. And when he was on the cross, you and me, we were on his mind. And you and me, we were on the Lord's heart. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, could not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, once the Lord quickens you and makes you alive, your soul is alive forevermore. The Bible says that you're quickened and made alive. You pass from death unto life. Your name is recorded in the Lamb's book of life. My sheep, Jesus said, I give eternal life, and they will never perish. Neither shall any man be able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. We know there's erroneous doctrine, erroneous preaching going on. People believe you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. But I tell you, when the Lord quickens you and makes you alive, you're alive forevermore. And when he changes your spirit, he changes your nature, and he changes your heart. He gives you a brand new heart. He quickens you and makes you alive. He takes the guile out of your spirit, and he takes the desire out of your heart to sin. You don't want to go sin after you've been saved. You want to try to please the Lord who's chosen you to be a soldier. And I tell you, but there is sin in our members. That's our outward body, our flesh, our members. The Bible depicts that. The Bible talks about that. And there's an inward man that cannot sin because of the Lord living on the inside of our souls. The Bible says the seed remaineth in us, and we cannot sin because we're born of God. But also over there in the book of John, one of the small letters of John, the Bible talked about if any man sin, this is John talking, John the Apostle, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is merciful and will forgive our sins because he's faithful, willing, and just to forgive us of our sins. And not only us, but the sins of the whole world. And I'm talking about their sins of omission in our flesh and their sins of commission that we willingly commit. But the Lord takes the desire out of your heart to sin. Now, you can still fall to sin, but I tell you, you can't get by with it. God will chastise you. He'll whip you. God whips his children. But when you get saved, you're saved forever. He keeps you. You're saved by grace, and you're kept by the power of God. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. But if you get out of God's will, he'll whip you. Now, he's very long-suffering, and he's very compassionate, and he knows that our frame, we're just dust, and he pities our frame, and he is long-suffering toward us. But you can't sin over and over like a cart rope and drink iniquity like water. Of course, that's what people do when they're not saved. But when you get saved, you don't desire to sin. But if you was to fall to sin, I tell you, the Lord don't kill you over it. He'll chastise you. He'll speak to you, and he'll beckon you. He'll preach to you through the people of God. The men of God will preach, and the Lord will bring conviction about your sin. And he'll beseech you. He'll beckon you to turn from your sin and to repent and to make things right with God, for he can use you. But eventually, if you don't turn from it, I tell you, the devil's good at what he does, and he can get a hold of our flesh. But if you don't turn from it, after a while, the Lord will have to bring down the chastising rod upon you. Every son that he receives, he chastens with a chastising rod, for by which we're all partakers. And the Bible talked about that. He'll lay down the chastising rod upon you. And he says he's not happy to do it, but he says it's not a joyful thing. But afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. He exercises his rod, and he'll correct us. He'll send storms in our life. In fact, we'll bring those storms in our own lives, and we'll bring those storms in our family's lives. I'm talking to the believer. I'm talking about those that have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. He invested in you. He invested in me. He put his heavenly treasure in our earthly house. And he expects us to go forth and praise him and to glorify him and to worship him for all that he's done for us. And he expects us to live a life above reproach, for we can help pray for the world and help win others by our testimony, by what they see in us. We're to be the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and we are the lesser light. He put his light in us. And he says, when he lights your candle, don't put it under a bed or a bushel, but let your light so shine before men that others may see our good works, that we may glorify the Heavenly Father in heaven. The Lord wants us to shine out as beacons of hope and beacons of light in the midst of a dark and perverse and crooked generation, of whom we shine out as lights. We're to be that peculiar people, the royal priesthood. We're to be that light, the city that's like a city that's hid on a hill. I mean, the city that's placed upon a hill that cannot be hid. Oh, how great just a little light shines in the darkness. And we're living in darkness. We're living in the Saturday evening time. Man has gotten further and further away from God. They push the word of God out of government. In essence, they have. They make a mimic, and they'll have some sort of a mealy-mouth prayer by some chaplain in the Congress there. And it's all formality. Even so, likewise, most of these churches, it's all formality. going through the formality of religion. There's nothing real to it. I mean, of course, God is real, but man is not being real toward God. God will show up. God will answer us. God will move, and God will heal our land and forgive us of our sins if we call on Him and turn our feet back to Him. The Bible says, I thought of my ways and I turned my feet unto the testimonies of the Lord. The Lord don't want a mouth service. He wants a heart service. He wants our very best. He said, offer up your very best. And I tell you, the Lord will open up the storehouse of heaven and He'll bless us. He wants to. He blesses us anyway with food to eat, with houses to live in, with clothes on our backs and vacations and this and that. He's so long-suffering, so tender with us. But I tell you, mankind want to blame God on our for the problems that we have. We conjure up our own problems and we want to blame God for it. We want to shake our fist in God's face when we're walking contrary to God's word. God told us what kind of life to live, and He'll bless your life if you try to live a life above reproach. I tell you, if we draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us. I tell you, there's no respected person with God. I mean, He rains down the rain upon the just and the unjust, and the sun, He'll rain down that great sunshine on the earth to give the vegetation the heat that it needs to grow, and the rain that vegetation and the fruit fields and the vegetables needs to grow. I mean, there He is sitting upon the circle of the earth and very highly invested in the affairs of man, every aspect of our life. But I tell you, we take God for granted. We take His mercy for granted. We kick God out of government. We kick God out of schools. We kick God out of churches. We kick God out of our homes. God have mercy. God have mercy. But if we turn to God, the Bible says, if we humble ourselves and turn back to God, I mean, He's faithful, willing, and just to forgive us of our sins. But I tell you, I look up and I look out and I see America, and I see what's going on Capitol Hill, and I see how the liberal left are doing. They're socialists, they're communists. They have no fear of God before their eyes. They don't even believe in God. They think they themselves are a God, and they're evil. I'll just go ahead and spell it out. They're evil. A lot of them are evil. They have nothing to do with the Word of God, except they'll mention Jesus, and they'll mention the Word of God every now and then when the election rolls around. But then they take a hard left. I tell you, that's what they try to do. They try to be the middleman, the middle of the road, someone who can talk to both sides, so to speak. Well, she really sounds good, or he really sounds good. But you look how they've governed before, and that's how they're going to govern when they get in the White House. God have mercy. Don't fall for the liberal lies of the media and the liberal lies from the candidate. I tell you, look and vote for the lesser of the two evils. There's nobody perfect. I mean, if you're looking for somebody perfect, He's already left. He's left the building. He's left the earth. His name was called Jesus Christ. He's already in heaven. But He's highly invested in the affairs of man. He wants to have mercy upon us. But we got to turn to Him. And we got to adhere to His word. And I tell you, God's against abortion. God's against murder. God's against, these liberal policies. The Bible talked about that in Proverbs, talking about let us all have one purse and just be a socialistic nation. The Bible says you're not wise. You got to have mercy. The Lord bless the individual on their individual efforts. And there's programs to help people who are down and out. But God have mercy. We are just totally captivated by stupidity. But I tell you, my time's already quickly come and gone again. I hope the Lord will bless you by you listening. Call on Jesus with a broken heart today and mean business with Him. He'll save you and He'll restore you if you are saved, if you turn to Him and pray and repent. See my time gone. God bless you. In Jesus' name we pray today, and amen.